Thank you, Council President McAllister. Thanks, Mr. Baxter, Superintendent Thornton and Danbrook, Mr. McCaffrey. So I have just one line item question, and then just and I'll have another general. The one that I didn't get a chance to ask you when we met previously, 53417 account code. Contracted nursing services. This is one that had been funded at a fairly high level in the past and then is out. So that the one that jumped out to me, I'm just wondering if you could clarify that. It's zero in 22.
Yes, Councilman. Dr. Conley, our Director of Special Services, will be answering that question for you.
Hi, Dr. Conley.
Hi, good afternoon. The contracted nursing services are for students we have in the district that have significant health needs. Some of them have feeding tubes, some of them have respiratory issues, seizures. So we contract out through several agencies to provide in-school nursing services for those students.
Okay, and that one in the in the 2022 budget has $0 associated with it, so it was formerly, you know, around 500 to 600,000. So, where did that go?
We did not provide those services during the COVID pandemic when students were not attending school. We're anticipating that some, maybe not all of those students will be returning next school year. As I said, they have significant health considerations that families take into consideration. So we're not certain how many of them will be returning, but if they do, we're obligated to provide those services.
Okay, so just back to the question, in the 2022 budget, there are $0 allocated to that line item from what I can see. So if we are going to need to provide them, where will that be funded?
Councilman Gephardt, the funds for the nurses' services lives in the ESSA funding.
Okay, got it. All right, so that's shifted out of that ops line to the funding. Okay, all right, great. Thank you for that one. The last would be just to add on to what Councilman Lattiser and Councilman Ricks mentioned, and thank you, Assistant Superintendent McCaffrey, for the description of the programs. Those all sound very exciting, innovative, and something that would attract students to want to come to Warwick or to stay in Warwick. What I would just say is, and we spoke about this when we met previously, is, you know, 25 students, if we're able to get 25 students back into the district, we've made up that $500,000 gap there. And given this past year where everyone was displaced, you know, I would urge you to just, you know, simplify. And I know you're going to go into your strategic planning and you're going to look big picture. But what can be done to identify students who may be willing to enter back into the system, and you could put money back into the coffers to invest into driving those programs forward. If we can't use what we already have, which are you know, attractive and worthwhile programs, if we can't attract enough students to those, what makes us think that these new programs that we're going to be able to execute on them you know, better than we have in the past? So, you know, what I would, my urge would be to just, you know, keep it simple, and make sure that we're promoting those programs, that we're soliciting students to, you know, who are either outside of the district currently to come back to those programs. You know, I'll just give an example. I had never heard of the Network Security Pathways program, which we already have. Fantastic program. Mayor Picozzi put it on his Facebook page. I watched the video. It's very compelling. You know, someone could walk out of a program like that and into a career that sets them up for the rest of their lives. And so I just, you know, let's make sure that the good work that we are already doing is broadcast out there for everyone to see. And let's try to, you know, slow that curve, bring some of those students back into the community. There's so much value in being in a school in your community. And I think we all learned that last year, the pandemic, where neighborhoods made all the difference, where your neighbors and your friends that were close to you when you couldn't go anywhere. So all those reasons, I would just say, let's double down on what we already have. Let's get some more kids back into the system, and that will fund the next investment into the next round of programs. So I'll just leave it at that. You all are very capable and very professional, and know what to do here. But I just wanted to make those comments, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Superintendent and budget officials, I'd list one simple question. Back in May 29th of 2019, I sent an email and I asked, how much of your budget is due to unfunded mandates? I asked the same question in 2020, and I did receive a partial reply that said we are 45th in the nation for aid in education. I'm still asking, and I would like to know a percentage of your entire budget. What is the cost of unfunded mandates that we have on a burden? Thank you, Mr. President.
Hi, good afternoon. I think while this sounds like a very basic question that's extremely complicated to answer, I would point the council to the basic education plan called the BEP. That's essentially a roadmap that was redone in 2009. In the 1990s, it was around yay thick, and now it came down to about maybe a couple chapters. But everything that we do essentially is a mandate. We have to offer a fine arts experience, physical education, English, math. So to me, it'd be very hard to, parse out what is not a mandate. Public school is mandated in everything we do. I mean, I'm sure there are some things if we were to take that 6%, if you will, but the BEP basically guides what we do. I know, if I can recall back to last year, I believe I gave the council a page and a half list of 10 things, I think it was 10 things I thought were mandates. Things like transportation in Rhode Island is a mandate, right? Special education regulations are mandates. But not to give you a runaround answer, but I believe I'd stand by the document I gave you of those 10 or so things I gave you in the BEP really is what we have to do. I know in the future, we could certainly sit with you with the BEP. It's much simpler, and you could actually, we could take you through it as far as, what's in there. Guidance is in there. Everything we do is pretty much BEP driven. That's my quick response.
Go ahead.
Councilman Howe, just to add one more example. So by the year 2023, all our curriculum and resources have to be what they call green, which has to be the best. So we have a private company, EdReports, that reviews all curriculum and resources. And currently we do have some red and yellow resources. So we are purchasing green. We purchased green math for elementary and I believe middle school.
K-12.
And this year, Director Amelot is also purchasing a new ELA green curriculum for secondary. That's just another example of unfunded mandates.
And so if I may, the out of the $174 million that make up our unrestricted local budget, all of those funds either directly or indirectly tied to the BEP and the support of the BEP. So you could say, I would say that 100% of this budget supports an unfunded mandate, whether it's transportation, out-of-district tuitions, contractual requirements, textbooks, and so on and so forth. You, 100%.
Mr. Baxter, if I may, and I apologize, but there's one area, if we want to discuss unfunded mandates, you can go back to the federal government from when they passed the IDEA legislation for special education. The federal government has never fully funded that, and the state has never fully funded the categorical special ed either. And that all falls onto the districts, and that's expensive services to deliver. So putting a 10 price tag on it, I wouldn't know how you do it, but it is a significant burden borne by every district.
Well, I thank you all. I think those are all great examples. I was kind of looking for a percentage, but I think you all hit the nail on the head that, you know, the burden falls in, and I do believe in the constitutional right of an education. But I also realize that there are laws and restrictions and different mandates written that we have to follow through on and follow from the federal and the state level, and the burden. And I think that school committee member Testa said it perfectly. The burden is ours to bear. Thank you all very much for the answers, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Howe. Councilman Foley.
Good evening. Thank you for appearing today. I have a question, and it goes to the sending the students out of district for different career tech programs that are substantially or somewhat different. You said there's legislation pending at the state level that will clean that up, that will take out that substantially the same, so that it makes it harder for a student to choose to go to Coventry for the auto career because it's slightly different than the one offered at Tollgate. Is that correct? Is that my understanding?
That is correct. We're, I believe, in year two or year three of trying to get this through. I think at this point it is being, I believe, heard tomorrow. The phrasing is substantially similar. A quick example. If memory serves, North Kingstown, we have around 39 students that go to NK for a business pathway. That's three or four courses for business over the course of 4 years. We have that program in Warwick, but we send 39 students, you know, times a certain dollar. It's not the full 22, Rob, but it's a big number. And that's something we can now, next January, if it passes, no longer, you know, have that happen to us. But we have Jacqueline Wall School in the city, and if students want to go there for, say, dance, and we don't have that, we would still pay that dance tuition, if you will, but not for a business pathway, which we have. Auto shop, we have that in Warwick. I wouldn't pay that anymore for Coventry. We have a couple now, cosmetology, we're paying to go elsewhere. We have that program, wouldn't pay that either. And the phrasing substantially similar is something we like because nothing is ever a duplicate, as we've learned from talking to our attorneys. So we believe that phrase kind of captures the essence of you know, what we're trying to do.
Well, just as a follow-up, my experience, I'm a retired teacher. I taught for 30 years, the last 30 years of my career at Davies Career Tech. And when this came in, I was at the State House fighting it. My question, I guess, to you is, how confident do you feel that this will pass to make it so that there's not that little loophole, or, you know, as long as there's a slight difference, we're not going to keep sending students to another district? Are you confident, somewhat confident? I know with the legislature, you never know what's going to happen, but just your professional opinions on that.
Having been in the State House a lot over my years, I am very, very confident on this one. We've had a lot of meetings with our delegation from Warwick, and I'm very, very confident.
I'm sorry, Council President, one last follow-up. So if that were to pass, that change, what do you feel would be the economic benefit to your budget?
I think in the short run, nothing immediately right now. If the current students in the program, say they're sophomores, they get to finish, but we wouldn't be signing any more of those forms next year to process new students next year. So FY23 and thereabouts, you would see that start to go down now. You wouldn't keep bleeding out the same rate you're bleeding right now.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilman Foley. Councilwoman Travis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a couple. The questions I have is with transportation, and I know Mr. Baxter can refer to that. I see that we're going to be doing fewer buses, shorter routes, and the longer walks for the kids. Now, I'm assuming, I know because of the decline in students, that is probably the reason why we have to do that. But how much are we saving by doing that?
Yes, certainly. That's a very good question, Councilwoman. The what we've got there is essentially projected $500,000 in savings. Again, as was said, I think by Councilman Sinapi in his earlier comments, I tend to be very conservative. I like to under promise and over deliver, and our transportation staff will be working over the year, over the summer, to model the new routes and to determine how many buses we'll need for the next school year. So when we project, when we pulled together this budget in February and March, we weren't exactly sure where we were ended up. So we've budgeted $500,000. And again, I believe that's a very, very safe assumption. Just to go back, when we say students will be walking further, I just for the sake of the public who's listening, in the past, we have gradually transitioned to a model that I would call premier or door-to-door service. And that has resulted in, you know, the reality that we run a lot of buses at much less than capacity. And so what we're doing is looking at how do we adopt some of the original or older practices of not too long ago, where we run our buses in shorter routes, but at fuller capacity. And again, it's just being more creative and eliminating the bottlenecks with the resources that we have.
So is the biggest challenge the high schools and middle schools, or is it elementary?
Oh, that's a very good question. It's the number one challenge, and the one that really determines how many buses we need is for middle schools, because middle schools are in the middle, if you will, of the drop off or pickup day. So where the high school we drop off around 7:20, and also high schoolers tend to have other rides of transportation. They'll either drive themselves or carpool or whatever. Middle schoolers obviously don't do that. And there are a lot of them. So we've got about 1200 students, for instance, at Vets, that all need to be dropped off around 8:00. And so we in the past, we've required a large number of buses in a very short period of time. And so what we're looking at is how do we spread that out a little bit and again, make those routes shorter with more kids on them so we can use fewer buses.
Thank you. I do want to agree with a lot of my colleagues who were speaking before about the loss of the students, or how many students we lost. The 22,260, I think, per pupil, where the average for the state is saying in the book that it was only 18,000 on the average, which makes Warwick, I believe it said, with the fifth highest one in the local area per student. So that's a big concern, you know, that I have. The out-of-district kids going to the out, that's always been a problem. I've been through a lot of school budgets. I remember when the teachers went to jail. I remember being threatened that we were going to cut this, cut that. This has been a great school budget so far. I don't agree with the $500,000, but it's good to see something being done and working together, and that's important. It is aggravating to see 94% of the budget where it's fixed income on transportation, out of district, the fixed courses, that remaining 6% for so many other things. And it's sad when you think that the budget of $174 million is going to be basically brought down to 6% to do the remaining, you know, books and all the other maintenance and computers and a lot of the other stuff that we need. So that's another big concern. And I just, you know, I agree with a lot of my colleagues. I hope that passes on the legislation, that the kids that are here are going to be taking the courses that we have here, because we got a great school system. They got some great programs, and I hope that can pass so we can use that here. So thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Councilman McElroy.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also have a question about the students leaving the district. What is the percentage of students, of the school students leaving the district relative to the population? And how does that compare to the other districts? What is their percentage of their population who leave the district for education purposes?
If I may, I just want to clarify the question. You're saying, how does our student enrollment decline compared to the change in the population of the city? Is that what you're asking?
No, not really the population. What is our total student population? What percentage of that population leaves the district, education versus the students were the district.
We can't hear him, Mr. President.
And I would like to know, how does that compare with a Cranston audience? What percentage of their students go out of district? I basically want to know if every school district in the state has 10% of their students leave district, that is one about what's going on. If we're losing publicly, do you understand what I'm asking now?
Yes, you're asking if, and I'm just asking to confirm, you're asking if we have above average students going to out of district education alternatives.
Yes, and as the percentage of our student population.
Correct. I don't have an exact percentage for you right now. I can get that for you. I do know that I don't even want to say that. So I would have to get you that number, Councilman.
Thank you very much. Thank you, President.
Thank you very much. Councilman Sinapi.
Helps to unmute. Just a quick point for those who don't know, because while the school, we've been losing people, there's also been significant improvements that have been happening over the past few years with HVAC and all the elementaries going in or in already, with middle schools getting substantial upgrades, and now with the high school slated, if all goes well, to get substantial upgrades. So while we have been having a decline, inevitably we should be seeing a turnaround in the near future, whether it be this year coming up or the year after. And unfortunately, it does take significant investment to do that, especially after we had such a long run where the school department was being maintained at best with the funds, as opposed to actually being enhanced or fixed when needed. So please keep that in mind, especially with the budget as it stands. And you can see the difference between this year and last year for those who were on the council prior. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. So keep that in mind.
Thank you, Councilman. At this time, are there any members of the school committee that would like to say anything before we open it up to members of the public? And I want to thank the members of the school committee for joining us this evening.
Yes, thank you, President McAllister. I would like to speak on behalf of the school committee. I want to especially stress upon the need for that $500,000. I think Mr. McCaffrey did a great job explaining the benefits of what that money would do for us. We talk about the loss of students. I actually toured North Kingstown and went there to see what shiny bells and whistles they have. And they got a little bit more shiny bells and whistles than we have. Nothing extraordinary, but they did redo their fields and they did redo the insides of their schools. And they got some really, you know, cool ideas going on where they have like a whole greenhouse thing that they work on. And, you know, they have air conditioning. And so you can see why with one change of we were discussing in a program with one change of one class, and we lose all these kids and they're going there because they're getting a little bit more bells and whistles, which we are all obviously trying to aim for. And I think with the $500,000, we can actually improve what we have. We can market it better and it can be used in such a great, great way that we normally don't have that. Normally we're asking for $11 million, $7 million. We're always deep in the hole. And I feel by asking for $500,000 to put towards our kids' programs to entice them to stay and to bring more in, I think it's a win-win for all of us. And as it was pointed out, if we only get a handful back, 25 kids, it pays that right off. And I, too, have been following the bill that's going on at the State House, and it does look like it's going to go hopefully in our favor, and that will be a huge win for all the districts that are losing kids to a little bit of those extra bells and whistles that each district might not offer and others do. So I would hope that you could all consider that. I'd appreciate your consideration and your vote for that. I also want to thank you for listening to us and asking some great questions. Some of it is a little bit like the special education part of it. I think until you actually see it and observe it, you don't, it's tough to get a handle on what some children really need on a medical level and on an educational level that other districts might have more. They have programs. So we're not the only district that we do have to send kids to for these very, very intricate programs for them. I just want to stress that because that is the other big percentage of where we're losing kids, but that is not, I don't look at that as bells and whistles. I look at that as putting a population of students in programs where they can get the maximum education and the best treatment that they can get. So thank you very much for your time tonight, and I hope you consider that. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We'll go to Councilman Lattiser, and then we'll open it up for the public. Councilman Lattiser.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. Just a simple question. So I've heard several people say if we implement these other programs for $500,000, all we have to do is bring in 25 kids, and it's going to make up for the $500,000. So if that is an accurate statement, why doesn't the same thing occur when we drop off 400 kids? We drop off 400 kids at 22,000 per student. How doesn't that equate to a savings of $8.8 million? You know, I don't understand how some of this math is being put together. We say, bring back 25 kids and it's going to pay off the $500,000. Then my question is, why don't we save over $8 million when we dropped off 400 kids? And nobody seems to have that answer. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman. At this time, we'll open it up. If you are a member of the public and would like to speak on the schools that is before us at this time, please raise your hand and the administrator will let you in for the call. So it looks like we have one person. We can unmute them and please identify yourself for the record.
Hi, Mr. President. My name is Robert Cushman. I'm a former Warwick City Councilman, former chairman of the Warwick School Committee. I'm listening to some of the budget, responses from the school department and from the school department people. One of my concerns is that, we're talking about, forcing kids to come back into the district, but we're not talking about, you know, performance. And, you know, I would think that if you looked at a degree from Harvard Business Law School, and let's just say Rhode Island College had a business degree, you would probably look at the Harvard Business Law School degree, you know, more applicable than the Rhode Island College. And the reason I'm saying this is that I don't think it's a good idea just to force kids to come back into a district until you take a look at the performance in the district. And, you know, for a perfect example, I'm not sure if anybody on this call looked at the recent U.S. News reports. They ranked 17,800 high schools in the country. Pilgrim High School came in at 9,586. Tollgate was even worse than that. It came in at 11,580. Now, when we look at one of our neighboring schools, East Greenwich, their high school came in at 551. That's a huge difference. And when we're talking about programs and services, maybe between the schools, we can't just basically be saying that we just want to jam kids back into one school system in the state when we don't look at the performance and what's going on in that school district. One of the questions I guess I have for the administration, I looked at my old alma mater, Cranston East, which is very comparable to what's going on between Warwick, you know, Pilgrim High School. And I looked at their rating and they're pretty close to what Pilgrim is rated. They're at 9,758, Pilgrim's at 9,586. Their minority population is 64% of the school and 57% are in economically disadvantaged rating. Now, when we look at Pilgrim High School, 18% minority, 27% economically disadvantaged. Why is it that the Cranston school system is basically performing at the same level in Cranston East to Pilgrim, but we are spending thousands and thousands, even millions of dollars more in the Pilgrim system? Can somebody answer that?
Hi, Mr. Cushman. This is Lynn Danbrook speaking. So right now we do need to reinvent and re-energize all our schools, but Pilgrim is one of them. We're looking at new programs, new curriculum, new ways to teach students, to provide them with personalized learning, to make learning more exciting for them, have more student choice, more student voice. So we do have some work to do. We have a NESDEC report that has outlined the work that needs to be done. And Director McCaffrey, I don't know if you want to speak to that more.
Councilman Cushman, Bob, I'd just like to say today is a new day. We have a new administration. We're rolling up our sleeves. We will be working hard to make sure Warwick schools are great, and that will be our goal. I appreciate your focus on the schools, on the city finances, and we will take your information and we will be focusing on moving our schools forward. I would say Cranston's request for their budget this year is getting closer to where Warwick is. I believe they're in the 170-ish million dollar range. So they are closing the gap on their costs. But I would say, appreciate your comments. We will be working harder and we will be moving the Warwick schools forward. Thank you.
Mr. President, am I still on?
Yes, you are.
Sorry. Yeah, I have a few other questions too. So I wanted to get into the process of where the $500,000 request came from. As someone who participated in multiple school budgets when I was on the school committee and I was the chairman, I don't understand why all of a sudden at the last minute after the superintendent's budget was submitted, we're getting a $500,000 request for new positions. Is this something that's being driven by the school committee? And I understand also it was a 3-2 vote. Or is this something that's being driven by the administration? That's my first question.
So I'll go first. So Thank you, Mr. Cushman. So this is Rob Baxter. So I just wanted to take your question and address 2 points. So as in the mayor's opening comments, yeah, I do own the fact that we originally requested a level funding. However, you know, during our subsequent process, which you're aware of, where we you know, where we go through from the superintendent's recommended budget to the school committee recommended budget, there, you know, there's additional discussion, and I think it was a good discussion that we should look at these additional programs to strengthen our curriculum and again try to address the enrollment problem. So again, I'll turn it over to the chair, Cobden, if she's got any additional comments. But this was, I think, a you know, not a contested decision, but I think an opportunity. I would look at it as in order to build on what we already have planned for next year.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Cushman. This is Chairwoman Judy Cobden. Mr. Baxter pretty much said what happened. We basically were handed the superintendent's budget, proposed budget, and it was saying we weren't asking for any other money. That was the first that myself and most of my colleagues, I'm not going to speak for anyone else, but myself heard of that. I was not in any of the meetings with the city to discuss this, and I quite honestly felt like we need money to put into our programs and to basically, we have to build on things. You can't just build a house and not keep adding to it and doing things to it. And that's the way I look at it. We have programs that we can develop that will become mastery compared to why we're losing kids because of one program to another school district. And I think that we need to put the effort into looking at the population decline as far as children going elsewhere for very similar programs. And some of them were off by one class or very similar. And I just didn't feel, personally, I did not feel it was right that we didn't try to ask for some additional funds to help us with these classes and building more and coming up with new pathways. But first of all, maintaining and building up what we already have. I felt like we owe that to our students. We owe that to this district. I feel like our schools need to be worked up. If we constantly don't have any money to do this stuff with, I just looked at it as an opportunity where $500,000 could actually go pretty far. And as Mr. McCaffrey spoke, it can go far and we can do a lot of things and we never have the money to do that for. So that is where that came from. It was, as I said, it was the superintendent's proposed budget and the school committee discussed it and it was a 3-2 vote.
So you know, like I said, as a former chairperson, I know when we made requests to the administration, we made sure they had a proper time to plan to do what they needed to get programs in place. You know, being that you just said it was a 3-2 vote, why wasn't the school committee unanimous with this recommendation?
Well, if I remember correctly, it was the two members didn't feel it was correct to ask for more money. I just disagreed. I think we needed to ask for it. And I think the opportunity was there. I have been on the committee for 2.5 years, but I've been going to school to budget meetings at City Hall for about 5 years. And I've seen the massive amounts of money that we always ask for. And we weren't going to ask for anything. And I felt $500,000 could work to benefit our district and the kids' programs. And I presented it. Like I said, I did not know that we weren't going to ask for any money until it was presented to me.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, can I go on with a few other questions?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. Well, first of all, my observation is I don't think that the city council should give the additional $500,000. You know, you have a 3-2 school committee vote. Obviously, there's two members that don't agree with this. If it was something that the administration really wanted, it would have been included in the budget. And I think you got to look at who are the experts in the school department. It's the superintendent and it's the staff. They work day in and day out. They're the experts. They did not request this, and I don't think the city council should approve it. So going on to my next set of questions, I've always had a concern that the superintendent has had one hand tied behind his back over the last few years because of the actions that the school committee has taken. And I did an analysis of the school budget back from 2016, looking at, you know, where has the new monies gone in the budget over the last 4 to 5 years. And I looked from 2018 to 2021, where there was a total of about $8.5 million in new money. Now, when I looked at the new money, I wanted to see, well, where was it allocated to? And I know Mr. Baxter talked about, you know, active employee costs, you know, benefits, fringe benefits and things like that. And that's what I looked at in my analysis. And when I did the analysis, I looked at about $12.6 million went to active employee expenses, salaries, benefits. So keep in mind, you know, there's only $8.5 million in new money. We actually cut almost $5 million from everything else in the budget to be able to afford that kind of spending. And so, you know, I'm hearing from the administration that this is something new. We have a new way of looking at things. We're turning the corner. We're doing something different. And I hear the administration is being really genuine. But how are we going to guarantee that what the administration wants to do in terms of the spending and turning the schools around to draw kids back in and set new priorities, if we're getting the kind of spending that I just outlined over the last 4 to 5 years, where most of the money, actually over 100% of the new money has gone towards salary and benefits? So, you know, the superintendent's got a budget right now, and I'm looking at the 2022 budget where, you know, you're cutting almost $4 million in salary and benefit costs and another million in retirement costs. That's great. That's great on paper. And you're putting a lot of it towards, you know, other spending. I know a lot of it's going towards the busing. But so I guess my question to the administration and then to the school committee is, can you guarantee that you're going to be on board for this new way of thinking? That's number one. And number two, I read the report from the superintendent. I've never read a more honest report about how things need to change in the district, or we're going to have state intervention coming in. I want to make sure, I want to know, are we all on the same team? And are you going to guarantee, is the school committee going to guarantee that there's going to be monies that are going to be basically taking away, subtracting from active employee benefits, salaries, and going towards these other programs?
Mr. Cushman, it's Lynn Danbrook. So the directors, Assistant Superintendent McCaffrey and myself, we are committed to re-energize the school system and make students excited and parents excited to be part of the Warwick school system. So we'll be adding new programs, and I look for the school committee to support that. They do support our work. We'll be adding new teaching and learning happening at all levels, innovative practices. So I'm looking forward to the school committee agreeing and supporting that, supporting new curriculum, new resources. So I do look forward to the committee. And Ms. Cobden, if you wanted to comment on that.
Yes, as we all know, we just voted. It was a 5-0 vote to put Ms. Danbrook in as the superintendent and Mr. McCaffrey as the assistant superintendent. And we did that, and I refer to them as my dream team. I only can speak myself, not for the rest of my committee members, but I am truly, truly have faith in their ideas and their energy and what they bring to the table and the thinking outside the box and knowing the city better than we could get anywhere else. They know the city. They've both been employed by the city and lived in the city. As far as Mr. McCaffrey goes, his whole life. So I have complete faith, and I already am enjoying working with them. And I, like I said, I can only speak for myself, but I am fully on board to what they're proposing, and the energy that they're bringing is fabulous. And I think we can turn this around.
Do you think spending $12.5 million on active employee expenses over the last 4 years was a prudent approach to take, and then cutting all other areas of the budget? Would you see, you under your leadership, that changing?
Mr. Cushman, I'm going to refer to right now, I haven't been on the committee that long, but I have watched the contracts. The last contract that was done before me, they got 1.5% retro pay, and then they got a 3% raise, a 3% raise, and a 3% raise. We were able to acquire much better than that for this district in the last negotiations, and my team worked very hard with me to come up with the figures, and I have to give much credit to the Work Teachers Union to battle it out and keep it out of court. And I'm very happy, and I think the rest of my team is happy for what we settled on.
So speaking of the contract negotiations, how many negotiation sessions did you have as chairwoman?
I was left with just a couple of issues. When Ms. Bacchus was chair, the whole educational piece and other pieces were already done, and I trusted her work, and that wasn't a problem. I had left was the health care and the raises, which is obviously a huge financial part of it. I had many meetings, and I think Mr. Baxter can go through the numbers with you as he has them right in front of him, and he's waving to me. And I had many meetings. Some went good, some went bad, some were indifferent. But we were able to get through it. And I think without going to court, this was the best way to do it. And at this point in time, the way coming off a pandemic is not the time to go to court, especially with the new superintendent, assistant superintendent, and basically kids and parents in this community has been completely beat up through this pandemic. And we need to start fresh in September with everybody giving 150%. And I had to think of the whole picture when I was negotiating those two issues.
Can I ask you, just before Mr. Baxter jumps in, can I ask you, during all of these sessions, was the superintendent, the assistant superintendent, your legal counsel, the finance counsel, human resource person? When I was on the school committee, I also was in part of negotiations, and at all times, every single session, we had the full complement of the administration and all the support staff at every single one of those sessions. Is that true with the sessions that you held with the Warwick Teachers Union?
As far as my two sessions go, they were strictly financial and legal, and I did have Mr. Baxter and Mr. Henius on the phone with me. They knew where my meetings were. They did not come in person. They were hands-on right there. And it was like they were in the room.
Was the new superintendent and was Mr. Thornton the previous superintendent and the new superintendent?
I was not privy to some of the meetings earlier, but I did attend one meeting. And I do know that Superintendent D'Ambrook and Assistant Superintendent McCaffrey were in a meeting when they were going through educational pieces.
Well, how about the salary and benefits?
Thank you very much, Mr. Cushman. We're going to move on. Do you have any additional questions?
Yeah, I do. I do have additional. I mean, can
okay,
I
get, you have one additional question, please. Thank you.
Can I get that question answered as to if the chairwoman of the basically said she has all the confidence in a new superintendent. I want to know, was the new superintendent in those negotiation sessions for those contract benefits, for salary and benefits? Was she in those sessions?
No, she wasn't.
Why not?
Because it wasn't necessary. I needed my Mr. Baxter and I needed our lawyer. We were in complete contact with each other during the negotiations. And at that time, neither one of them were, it was done before they were even voted in.
All right. Let me move on. I just want to make a comment. That is shocking to me. The person that's supposed to lead the entire school department had no say in salary and benefits that make up a majority of the cost. That's shocking. So let me go on to
action. Thank you very much, Mr. Cushman. We're going to move on to the next individual.
Mr. Chairman, I had one other question on benefits. Can I ask that question?
I'm going to move on. We need to let
additional. It's about the co-pays. It's very important. Yeah,
thank you very much, Mr. Cushman. If we could unmute the next speaker.
Hi, my name is Darilyn Gorton. Lifelong resident of Warwick, except for a couple of minor hiatuses, and also, full disclaimer, a Warwick educator. I know there's been a lot of concern about different things in the budget, especially in regards to salary and benefits. I do want to make the point to everyone that due to the changes at the state level regarding when teachers can retire, I started very late in my career at an older age. And right now I am slated to work an additional 2 or 3 years beyond the original time that I had expected to retire. So that means that's 2 or 3 years that the district has to pay a teacher at top step before you would have attrition where teachers would retire, you'd have new people come in. And with that format, that allowed the district to keep those labor costs much lower than we are able to now. As somebody who's been in the district for over 20 years, as somebody who has put 2 of my 3 children through the Warwick schools, I can tell you that there is a definite feel to this school committee and this new administration. They definitely want to improve the system itself. And I think that it was brave of them, knowing the history of the finances, that they were able to ask for that extra $500,000 to try and get more students to come back to Warwick. I believe personally a big portion of the reason students are moving out of district has been the animosity in the city. We have not funded our schools properly for over 10, 15 years. And I applaud that they're taking a holistic approach and a team approach to working things out and who needs to be there. So I just want to say that I am very pleased with the overall budget, the process. And as a teacher for the first time in a very long time, I think that if you support the school administration, that you will see something positive come out of it. And we will see students come back. My own grandson right now is enrolled in private school, and it's because of the concerns over whether or not, you know, what school he'll be going to, what the consistency is, will there be programs offered? So I think the administration is definitely moving in the right direction. I think we need to stop looking backwards and start looking forwards. And I think we have to have faith in order to do that. So I thank everybody for their questions and for their service and their dedication to our city.
Thank you very much, ma'am. If we can unlock the next speaker, please.
Yes, good evening. My name is Roger Duran. And let me just be brief before I ask my questions. I'd like to personally offer my condolences to the Solomon family. I've heard people tonight bandy about how many council meetings, budget meetings they've attended. I'm probably going on 13. And my first meeting was when Joe Solomon was council president, his first time. I always remembered how insightful he was and how concerned he was for the city. So I'd like to offer my personal condolences to Cindy, as well as Joe Jr. for the fine job Joe Sr. did on the city council. Having said that, is the gentleman's name Rob? Is he the gentleman who's been giving us the information, the budget chief or whatever?
Yes, my name's Rob, or short for Robert Baxter.
Okay, Rob. Rob, you've done a fantastic job. I've enjoyed reading your outline in various publications as well as you gave it tonight. First thing I will say to you, you were talking about the turkey legs. Hasn't come up much tonight. But as you were mentioning that initially, Rob, from a taxpayer standpoint, you said the oven wasn't big enough. Well, as far as I'm concerned, over the last 12 years, the oven's been fantastic for the school department. They just haven't used the money properly. So let me ask a couple questions. First question has to do with healthcare copays. I was reading and bandying about how much the copay is going to be this year. Could you explain to me, Rob, how much, number one, do we spend on healthcare for the teachers? And number two, what is their copay?